Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We start the hour with the Dakota Political Junkies. Today we have two of our guests inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio at the Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City. Seth Tupper and Denise Ross are with us. Welcome, both of you.
It's great to be here, Lori.
Great to be here, too.
All right, let's start with the big one, and we'll talk about the, I'm hoping that, totally unrealistic hope, but I'd really like this to be the last time I have to say the worst mass shooting in modern U.S. history about a new event. I would like it to end here. Maybe not very likely, but that's what we're going to talk about today. And let's start with what our congressional delegation had to say, their responses. Seth, you wrote about it for the Rapid City Journal. Let's start with you.
Yeah, on Monday, I tried to get all the all three of the congressional delegates on record on just what they think the response ought to be to the shooting. And, of course, they all expressed sympathy for the victims and as you would expect. Senator Thune and Representative Noem basically said that, you know, it was too early to talk about any kind of potential legislative response to the shooting. Senator Rounds, somewhat surprisingly to me, seemed to crack the door open just a little bit and in saying that perhaps, you know, there's some things that should be talked about, but then quickly adding, you know, it was too early to talk about those things and that we need to wait for the investigation to fully play out. And then yesterday, Marty Jackley was in town on his formal announcement tour for his race for governor, and I got him on the record as well, and he was staunchly opposed to any sort of legislation that would curtail the right to bear arms in any way, and so that we have enough laws already, and that we just need to work on better security and things of that nature.
Denise, too early to talk? To be fair, they're saying it's too early because the facts of the case are not in, because they might, you know, imply that now is the time to think about, you know, supporting the victims, completing the investigation. But people bristle at that because I've been here for fewer than 2 years and, you know, the Pulse nightclub shooting happened when I was working here. So we've had two in less than 2 years mass shootings. Is it too early to talk about what's behind all this and what should be done?
Well, I think any attempt to stifle any discussion of any kind is just sort of un-American. So I'll start with that. When you just tell people to just be quiet, I don't think that's ever a good way to debate an issue. But what I'm seeing and what I'm sensing and just watching and reading about the aftermath of this latest mass shooting is that you're starting to see a sort of more strident and passionate pushback against, and they're calling this is the playbook. The first thing they do is say it's too soon to talk about it. The next thing they do is, if you're talking about people who are supported by the NRA, if you're full of the NRA, pushing back against them as elected officials, the next thing they'll do is say that, well, background checks or whatever other measure might be on the table wouldn't have stopped this particular situation. And they run down what the playbook is. And so once you start talking about that, then the conversation, I think, ultimately will shift because it will put the people who are running that playbook on a little bit more of a defensive footing because the conversation has changed to not what they're saying, but look, you're just saying what you always say. And so for, you know, I thought that Sandy Hook, and again, I have two little kids, but I thought that the Sandy Hook elementary school shooting would change the debate in a fundamental way, and that didn't happen. And so after that, I didn't really even pay much attention to the debate that followed mass shootings because it just felt so familiar to me. But then now with this one, I'm sensing a different tone. We'll see if that lasts. We'll see if that persists. And we'll see if it changes enough hearts and minds to have the discussion. But to say you can't even have the debate, you can't even have the discussion, you know, I think people really need to reflect on that. If they're so sure, if the people who are promoting the right to bear arms of any kind, including this attachment to a semi-automatic weapon that makes it behave like an automatic weapon. If you're so confident that that's the right policy for the country, then you should be able to come out and defend it and explain why you feel that way and have the full debate. I don't think we should, as Americans in an open society, be afraid of having a debate over any issue.
I want to hear from listeners. We don't usually do this on the Junkies, but send me a text if you have some thoughts. Is this a conversation about gun legislation? What is it a conversation about in your mind? Send me a text at 605-956-SDPB, and I'll bring it up with Seth and Denise, and we can talk about this. Seth, is it just about bump stocks and gun violence, or is this a conversation about mental health? Is it a conversation about how the media covers these events? What's at the heart of all this? What are your thoughts?
Well, this particular shooting, I guess some of the desire to wait a little bit to fully discuss it was maybe born out of trying to find out a little more, were there mental health issues with this particular suspect or were there not? But beyond that, yeah, it was pretty clear from the beginning with this incident that there was automatic fire involved. And there are, I think when Denise said, she's sensing something different here, I think what I sense is at least some opening. As I said, I sensed from Senator Rounds and then in subsequent comments that Senator Thune made to NBC, he got in a little hot water over saying that, people need to protect themselves and something to the effect of they need to get small. But before that, in context of those comments, he said something about maybe we need to look at some of these devices that can make turn semi-automatic weapons into automatic weapons. So I think everything's in play. And, that's for many people, though, that's the frustrating part, is that there hasn't really been a real discussion on doing anything on any of these issues with devices that can be used to turn weapons into automatic weapons with anything of that nature. So I think everything has to be on the table, but it just seems to all fade away, a week or 2 weeks after the shooting.
These are comments Senator Thune made to Hallie Jackson of MSNBC, caused quite a stir on Facebook. Denise, I'm sure you saw some of that, or, is that kind of where you're talking about the tone, where people were, even more frustrated, feeling that, out of context, out of the full context of what he said, that this felt like, lawmakers were throwing up their hands and saying, hey, it's an open society, we can't do anything about it.
Well, actually, I haven't seen Senator Thune's remarks, but as soon as I heard Seth say that, that's the first thing I'm going to do when we get off the air here is try and find that. But I would just say, I saw him on TV standing behind Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, who when he said this is too soon to talk about this. So that's obviously Thune is putting himself in that camp. But I think, it is a gamble for some of these politicians, because I think at some point public sentiment will turn on this debate and there will be some pushback. And, you just never know when these tipping points will come. But I think there is a gamble where if you just are too far to one side, you're going to be stuck there when the tide does turn. And so I don't know what Senator Thune exactly said, but if he got a lot of pushback, that could be a signal that this is moving the ground a little bit on this gun debate.
Again, send us a text if you want us to talk about a different angle of this conversation, 605-956-SDPB. And on Monday, we had a conversation about maltreatment of children on this show, and it reminded me of how these complex issues need to be sort of addressed. And Kerry Sanderson talked about knowledge, really finding out what's going on, and then about response, what's the most impactful response, and then about prevention. All those things she said have to happen at once. So it's a multi-layered conversation. Do you want to weigh into a little bit more, Seth, about what Marty Jackley said? He was pretty strong on, really saying, Second Amendment rights will be preserved in the state of South Dakota. Did he expand on that? And what else he thought maybe needed to happen to prevent these kind of tragedies?
Yeah, well, a little background on him. I mean, he's the current attorney general, and as attorney general for the past 8 years, he's been frequently critical of attempts in other states to limit the Second Amendment, and he's joined a lot of briefs to the Supreme Court with other state attorney generals attacking limitations on the Second Amendment. He's hosted annual marksmanship competitions for legislators during the legislative session every year. So he comes from a place of, you know, having been really committed to protecting the Second Amendment, and this doesn't seem to have changed that position one iota. When I spoke to him yesterday, again, he was very quick and very clear to say that, you know, we have enough laws already. He gave the example that first degree murder is already against the law, and some other examples, and said that, you know, more laws aren't going to stop this. He did say that, you know, some of the security you see at modern courthouses, like at the Pennington County Courthouse here, where you have to go through a single entrance and a checkpoint and a metal detector, he said we may need to see that in more places. And I asked him, well, are we going to have to see that at every time we go into a hotel now? And he said, well, it depends on the hotel. It depends on the event. But, you know, we may see more of that and we may need to. And he said that's the lessons we should be taking from this, is that we should be trying to learn lessons of how to better protect people, how to better prevent these kinds of scenarios rather than passing new restrictions on guns.
And the argument there is plenty of people have a bump stock or have a weapon that they are not using to commit a crime. Denise, is that a valid point to say, you know, it's not the existence of a technology, it's how it's used?
Well, yeah, certainly. You know, there are a lot of people who own guns who don't use them to kill other people, but certainly there are enough of them who do that we've seen this become just part of the national fabric of what we deal with. You know, and my kids come home from elementary school and tell me about hiding in the closet and practicing being quiet, you know, so that's something that I certainly didn't do when I was going to elementary school in Mobridge. I think, you know, it's a debate, like I said, that no one should be afraid to have. This is a debate that I think I'm sensing that the country is, it's sort of building up and building up, and I feel like a dam will break at some point. And woe to the politician who isn't ready for that and can't really defend their positions on this issue. But what individual technologies, you know, and there's this bill that was getting ready to come up that would make it much more easy to buy and use these silencers. And I had heard the discussion, and again, I'm not a gun expert or an expert on gun technology, but I had heard the discussion that had that the shooter in Las Vegas use these silencers, it would have been much, much more difficult for the law enforcement to figure out where he was and where the fire was coming from. So you could imagine a much worse tragedy in that situation. Of course, that bill has been, for the time being, taken off the agenda in the Senate, but you know, this is something that just keeps going on, and there's all these individual technologies like silencers, like these bump stocks, and because the debate has been stifled, that's really allowed the pro-gun forces to continue to put that out into the marketplace, have these be used by these gun enthusiasts, and then you have these individuals who amass an arsenal, buy all the ammunition, and do what we saw happen in Las Vegas. So where you find that middle ground, where you are able to find some ways to prevent some of these things from happening, that's part of the debate and why the debate really should happen.
And I'm not sure if a silencer works on full auto. I don't know my silencers very well. I'm not sure if those technologies are compatible. So somebody text me if you know that information as well. We just did get a text, Denise and Seth, talking about the playbook, you know, really being on both sides. So I think this is a good question, because this morning I was talking to somebody about it, and they said the real problem is that we can't talk about it. And the real problem is that we can't figure out, lawmakers can't figure out how to work together to really address a problem. There are taboo topics. There's money in, you know, there's an economic impact in play. There's politics in play. How do we get beyond, Seth, the standard playbook, what everybody's going to say after a tragedy like this, and not have it die down in 2 weeks, but still be talking about it, but not just one facet of it, you know, the multi layers of it?
Well, I wish I knew. I could tell you what some people would say, obviously, is that I think it would, a lot of people, especially on the Democratic side and some Republicans too, would probably say this goes back to getting reducing the influence of money on politics, reducing the influence of powerful interest groups like the NRA on politicians that they support. If it is taboo, as this texter suggests, for certain Republican politicians to talk about reforming gun laws, that would only be true, I suppose, to the extent that they're afraid that they'll anger the NRA and lose their support, and that the NRA would even campaign against them in a primary or a general election or whatever. So, you know, to fix that problem, to free up people to talk about this issue, I guess you'd need to reduce that influence. But that assumes that, you know, that people want to talk about this issue. I mean, that kind of assumes that certain politicians are putting up a front that they don't really believe in, when, in fact, some of them, I'm sure, really do believe that they don't want to roll back gun laws in any way. So I don't know. I wish I had all the answers.
Denise, how do you think we get beyond the playbook on both sides to have an honest, you know, open discussion?
Well, I think that's the kind of thing that happens around dinner tables, around, you know, in coffee shops, and at workplaces, where people start talking to each other. And then I think you see it as more of a grassroots, bottom-up type of a conversation. I think at the top levels in Congress, there is a certain amount of calcification on positions for each side. I'm struggling to think of what the playbook on the anti-gun side is, other than coming out and saying we need some common sense regulations. Maybe that's the playbook, but I haven't seen that the last couple of shootings. Now, maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention, but it seemed to me like the people that wanted a few more restrictions on guns just kind of laid low and kept quiet the last couple times. And this time I'm seeing them being pretty loud and pretty boisterous, and not doing that where they just stay quiet.
You mean after legislation failed post Sandy Hook, there was a lull of, is that what you're?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So much to talk about here. Seth, do you have any other things to finish off with that are maybe beyond this debate that we should make sure to cover this week before we let you go?
Politically, no, not necessarily. we had, of course, as I mentioned, we did have Marty Jackley out here kicking off his campaign for governor, which was attended by about 100 people yesterday in Rapid City, and I think he was going to five or six other cities today. So that he's really revving up that campaign, and that's continues to be interesting, obviously, with the big primary looming between him and Representative Noem for governor. Huh.
I like very much what Denise said about, have those conversations in a, you know, over a cup of coffee with a friend. Listen to what somebody else might have to say. Take a deep breath. And, it's not all up to the lawmakers. And I would add this, that, you know, on Facebook and other sources, I found, we talk about the NRA and how much money they donate, to which politician. I found so many different facts and figures about how much money Senator Thune gets from the NRA. It was embarrassing. So check your facts, find those news sources that, report responsibly, and have those conversations. Seth, Denise, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.